were talking about Gaza earlier. It's been discussed at a UN conference in New York today too. Its future, a long-held international policy known as the two-state solution, Israel and Palestine existing side by side. But Israel aren't at the conference. The US isn't there either. Mary Robinson is, the former President of Ireland and UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, told the conference the government of Israel enjoys what she called a high level of impunity.
For those of us who believe in international law and the United Nations Charter, the stark truth is that the government of Israel has not been held accountable for its violations in Gaza and across the occupied Palestinian territory. Its leadership enjoys a high level of impunity, and measures taken to date have not been sufficient to incentivize a change of course. This cannot continue. We have a shared duty to uphold the international rule of law and guard against the erosion of basic norms that guide conduct in wartime.
That's Mary Robinson. Representing Ireland, Minister of State Eimear Higgins also addressed the conference and said Gaza had reached new depths of misery.
The humanitarian situation in Gaza has reached new depths of despair and new depths of misery. Mass starvation is now spreading right across the population, and that is an affront to our collective humanity. We need to see an immediate ceasefire, we need to see an immediate release of hostages, and we need to see massive humanitarian aid into Gaza at scale.
That's Eimear Higgins. For more, we've been hearing this morning from our global security reporter, Yvonne Murray.
Well, this is a conference co-chaired by France and Saudi Arabia, and it was originally scheduled, to remember, for June, but they pushed it back after the Israeli bombing of Iranian nuclear sites. So they've gathered here now in New York. It started yesterday morning. It's a two-day conference. 50 ministers from UN member states are here, and they're gathering under the auspices of the UN. And it's designed really to kickstart the process for the two-state solution, or to reinvigorate a global commitment to the two-state solution. And Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations, was there at the opening session, and he said that this must serve as a decisive turning point. And I think that theme was really echoed throughout the day. We heard it time and again that this really is a moment where the global community has to get together and recommit to the two-state solution for peace between Israel and Palestine. And I'll just say that there's an outcome document that's expected now at the end of this conference, with a few details that we're hearing. They want to see recognition of the state of Palestine by those countries that haven't yet. They want normalization of relations between Arab nations and Israel. A commitment to by the international community to the Palestinian Authority heading up the government in Gaza and the West Bank, and also the disarmament of Hamas. Pretty ambitious, I would say, but I think what we're hearing today is really an outpouring of a commitment at a time when I think the international community has for a long time been wringing its hands.
Very ambitious achievements, it could be argued. And without Israel, the US or even Hamas there, what realistically can this conference achieve?
Yes, and that question was asked really throughout the day of the organisers. You know, Israel was very clear that they were going to boycott this conference, calling it a circus. In fact, Danny Danon, the Israeli ambassador, called it that throughout the day, said that they were going to have no part in it. And of course, Israel's chief backer, the United States, the same, State Department, saying that it was unproductive and ill-timed. But nevertheless, the reaction that we were getting from the organizers, the co-chairs, was that regardless of the US and Israel refusing to take part, they felt that the US and much of the international community was actually on the same page. The French foreign minister, Jean-Noël Barrot, pointed out that it was, of course, Donald Trump that oversaw the Abraham Accords during his first term. And that's an ambition of Donald Trump's that he believes has not gone away. So he felt there was a lot of common ground that could be worked on, despite the fact that, of course, they're not there today.
What does a two-state solution mean now, Yvonne?
This is the question, isn't it? Because, of course, so much settlement building has gone on in what is recognised by much of the world as Palestinian territory in the West Bank. And diplomats yesterday again asked that question about what could a Palestinian state look like, what is the territory of a Palestinian state, were at pains to point out that this is a step towards it. And so, yes, it may not be demarcated territory at the moment, and certainly the fact that there are 500,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank is an issue to be addressed. So I think what they're saying is that, look, this is baby steps towards something that they would like to see the international community commit to.
What has the conference heard, if anything, Yvonne, of support or otherwise for a two-state solution in Israel and the occupied territories?
The conference heard from civil society groups, people who have been working on this behind the scenes and very quietly throughout this war. And Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland, and of course, former High Commissioner of Human Rights, was pointing out that their voices have been brought to the fore. And in fact, some of the strongest comments came from her yesterday. She cited the fact that Israeli NGOs, the day before yesterday, had said that they deemed this a genocide. And she built on that to say that she herself, in her personal view, would deem it as a genocide. Further, she went further later in the day when she was in a press conference with the elders and again asked her own personal view. And she said that this was a moment where she thought that the US citizens would recognize this as an unfolding genocide, and she felt that this could represent a turning point.
Separately, Yvonne, tell us about what's been happening in New York this morning, a shooting.
Yes, a shooting overnight last night. It was around 6:30 p.m. when we first got news of this in Midtown Manhattan. And most of the details we've been hearing have come from the New York Police Commissioner, Jessica Tisch, and she gave quite a detailed account of what happened. It seemed that the suspect pulled up in a BMW car parked outside a high-rise building on Park Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. He walked into the lobby of the skyscraper carrying an M4 rifle. He then opened fire in the lobby, killing a police officer and also a woman who was hiding behind a pillar, and then a security guard. He then pressed the button for the lift. The lift came down. A woman stepped out of the lift, and she walked away. He stepped into the lift, went to the 33rd floor, where he continued shooting before turning the gun on himself. Now, the details, again, that we've heard from the police commissioner is that the suspect is named as Shane Tamura. He's from Las Vegas, so very far away from New York. He is suspected of having driven across the country to New York last night to carry out this shooting. And of course, as we heard these details emerging, I looked out the window. I could see helicopters in the sky and a stream of NYPD squad cars going down the highway from northern Manhattan into Midtown. Very tense atmosphere. I should say, of course, that shootings like this are very rare in Midtown, that area, you know, full of banks and skyscrapers and consulates and all the rest of it. But of course, you'll remember that that is the area where the United Healthcare CEO was shot dead last year. So definitely a tense moment here in New York.
That's Yvonne Murray in New York. New York City Police Department Commissioner Jessica Tisch told reporters what the police knew so far about the shooter.
According to our law enforcement partners in Las Vegas, Mr. Tamura has a documented mental health history. His motives are still under investigation, and we are working to understand why he targeted this particular location. But today, four innocent victims are dead. Among them is NYPD police officer Didarul Islam, 36 years old, 4 years on the job. Officer Islam was married with two young boys. His wife is pregnant with their third child.
That's New York City Police Department Commissioner Jessica Tisch. Here's people in the city giving their reaction to what happened.
I was in my office. Actually, my mom was the first person to text me about the active shooter. She was asking, was I okay? There is an active shooter like on Park. And then she texted me the address. And I was like, oh my God, that's like right next door. It was crazy. We were just all in our office, kind of just watching things unfold in real time. You know, just monitoring like X, looking outside the window.
And I just saw a lot of commotion and cops and people screaming. I heard Palestine come up a bunch of times. I don't even know if it was related to the incident.
This reaction in New York to the shooting dead of four people. It's 10 to 8.